This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Jeremiah 3, the prophet Jeremiah is talking about the nation of Israel. At this time in Israel's history, Israel is divided into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, called Judah, northern kingdom called Israel. And the northern kingdom, Israel, had committed adultery. In the first 10 verses of Jeremiah 3, the prophet goes on to say how Israel's behavior is like an unfaithful wife to God. He uses that analogy. And so the kingdom of Israel had committed adultery by turning to idols. And idols are things, in this case, the idols were the pagan idols of the people that surrounded the nation of Israel, and they adopted their idols, their false images, their false gods. And so they had turned from God to worshiping idols, and they pursued every selfish desire they had in their own hearts. And so they were a backslidden people. They were a people who had turned back on God. That's the historical perspective we have here. Israel's behavior prevented God from blessing them at this time. And so these first 10 verses pictures the nation as a runaway wife seeking pleasure from many lovers and, of course, never finding it. So the prophet repeatedly cried out. The prophets of old, not only Jeremiah but others, repeatedly cried out for reform in the nation, to turn back to God, to go back. The nation was in decline. There was a moral decline taking place. Immorality was everywhere, and perverted lifestyles were cropping up everywhere. And there was a moral decline in the nation, and we should take that to heart when we consider our own nation here and always be faithful to pray for our country so that we don't end up, and of course we've already started down that road, but so it stopped along the way, hopefully, or slowed down the moral decline that nations go through. But the prophets repeatedly cried out for reform, and Israel repeatedly ignored them. Here, Jeremiah is going to speak to them of repentance. Repentance means to change your mind. He wants them to change the way they think and to turn back to God. So we'll start at verse 12, and you'll see how this ties into the subject of being a pastor this morning. In Jeremiah 3:12, go and proclaim these words towards the north. Remember the northern kingdom. Return, thou backsliding Israel, says the Lord, and I will not cause my judgment to fall upon you. For I am merciful. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to do things against you because of your condition. I want to be merciful to you. Mercy means I want to erase the past mistakes that you've made and start fresh with you, start brand new. So I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you or my judgment. I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not remain angry forever. The only thing I want from you in verse 13 is acknowledge thine iniquity. Acknowledge an iniquity generally speaks of the heart attitude, speaks of an attitude of the heart, the iniquity of the heart. It's on the inward. Acknowledge that your heart is not right with me. You're chasing idols. You're pursuing every desire of your own life. And only acknowledge that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and has scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree. And a green tree is where many of these idols were worshipped. They would choose a tree out in the field, and under the tree they would set up a little altar to worship their pagan gods. So it's under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Turn, in verse 14, O backsliding children. So here we have a comforting word here, the word children. Here's a group of people who are backsliding. They're turning themselves away from God, going in a different direction than what God would have them to go, walking contrary to his will, but yet he continues to call them children. He has not disowned them. He has not excommunicated them. They are backsliding. They are filled with iniquity. They are filled with idolatry. They are pursuing every lustful desire of their heart. They are ignoring God. But he says, you're still my children. And all I want you to do is to turn. Turn back to me, saith the Lord, for I am married to you. You see the metaphor here of the relationship God has with his people. He has a covenant relationship, like a marriage on the earth here with us. It's a covenant relationship. It is entered into with vows. And God has vowed to be faithful to Israel. Even though Israel was unfaithful, God's vow is to be faithful to Israel. And so I am married to you, and I will take, and this is the part we want to see here, and if you turn back to me, then the latter part of this verse says, I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So when you return to me, when you turn back to me, and when you change your mind, and you realize that I am totally committed to you, like a husband is to his wife, even if she fails him. I am completely committed to you in a covenant relationship. If you turn back to me, then this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take one person out of that city, and I'm going to take two people out of that family. And then there's a village down the road. I'm going to take another person out of that village, and then I'm going to take another one out of the farmlands. I'm going to be gathering people from different places around the nation, and I'm going to bring them to Zion. And bringing them to Zion, Zion is a word that's changed its meaning over the years, but in this particular case, it means the place where God's temple is, the place where God is dwelling in his presence. I'm going to take different people from different places and draw them to myself in Zion and have them come into my presence. And when they do that, being in my presence will be life-changing for them. Being in my presence will be life-changing. You can't remain in the presence of God without having a change take place in your life. So this is what he's telling them. If you turn back to me, and then I'll take from you different men from different places. I'll bring them to myself. And then verse 15, what is he going to do with those men? Then I will give you pastors. First I bring them to me, I call them, I select them, I train them, I draw them close to me, and then I give them to you. And here is the first account we have of what a pastor is in the Word of God. According to my heart, he says in verse 15, and we'll get to that, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So the first thing we realize is that a pastor is very synonymous to the word shepherd in the Bible. The shepherd shepherds his flock of sheep, and the pastor has a flock of people. So the word is used metaphorically, pastor or shepherd. The same Hebrew words and the same Greek words apply to both shepherd or pastor. But we see here that it is God who gives the pastor. He calls him. He draws them, he trains them, and then he gives them to the people. And in the New Testament, that remains the same. In Ephesians 4:10, if you look there, you'll see that God gave gifts to men. God is giving gifts to the to people. And then in verse 11, he explains what those gifts are. He says that he himself, referring to the Lord, gave some of those gifts, and he called them apostles. Then he gave some more gifts, and he called them prophets. The apostles and prophets were the first century church leaders. The church leaders, the ones Jesus chose 12 apostles, and there were also prophets in that day. And the apostles and the prophets were the authority of the early church. They were the authority of the early church because there was no Bible completed by that time. The Bible was not yet completed. And so when you had a Bible question or you had a spiritual question, the apostle would answer it because he was the authority of the church. Now you have a question, you go to your Bible, you look it up and you read it. The Bible is the authority of the church. It took the place of apostles and prophets. So, but that was the early church, the foundation of the church, we're told, were the apostles and the prophets. Then we have the evangelists. The evangelists are a precious group of people. Probably the most popular evangelist of our time was Billy Graham. Everybody knows that name around the world. And he was the evangelist, Billy Graham. He took the gospel into the world. We have many individuals today who take the gospel to unreached people. We call them missionaries. And they go into, we have a great many people in the world today who still do not know the gospel. They have not even heard the name of Jesus yet. We have many people. We have 2 billion people in China, another billion or two in India who are under Hinduism and China with Buddhism. And then we have the Muslim world. We have probably more than half the world that grow up as little children. They grow up and they do not even hear the name of Jesus. Haven't even heard it yet. Great need for evangelists. Great need for missionaries around the world to go and to bring the good news. And once they go and once they win people to Christ and once they turn people to the Lord, then the necessity of a church comes into view. And the church is formed by a group of people who are following Christ, coming together, gathering together, whether a small group like this or a large group, they come together to be taught and to learn and to be discipled by the Word of God. And the person who is going to be in leadership in that group is called the pastor. And that's the fourth classification here in Ephesians 4:11. It says some pastors and teachers. In the Greek, pastor and teacher is connected grammatically in the Greek, and so the word is pastor-teacher. And so I will give you pastors according to my heart. They will teach you, feed you with knowledge and understanding. In the New Testament, the same thing. God gives pastors and teachers. God gives. So here we have this morning God who is calling individuals, one from here, one from there, a few from over there, from different places. He calls them. Then he trains them. Then he sets them apart to be pastors. And then he sends them into the body of Christ, the church, to fulfill their ministry. And so we have pastors who are called and trained and set apart to be pastors. Now the pastor in Luke 9:23 must take up his cross. If he's going to be a pastor, he must take up his cross.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause & Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area.